Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Stephen, for having me.
This film explores trauma and cultural conflict in interesting and unexpected ways. It's based in the Indian Himalayas and explores the complexities of Indigenous culture and gender identity. We don't see many Indian horror films. Were you interested in using the genre in a way to explore socio-political aspects of Indian society?
Yeah, so initially when I was ideating for the film, and when I had met my writer, Harsh Weber, who is also the executive producer, I told him I want to make a horror film which centers around high school students from a boarding school. And that's because I have grown up in a boarding school in the state of Assam, which is in Northeast India, close to Sikkim, where the film is set in. From this school, we used to go on annual expedition trips to the neighboring Northeastern states, like Sikkim, Meghalaya, Arunachal Pradesh. So I had a very memorable trip when I was in grade 7, which was actually to Arunachal Pradesh. That trip was kind of filled with, you know, spooks and dread. And we had camped next to a river for a week. And there was a Hindu cremation ground. We actually saw a cremation happening while we were there. And a group of students had got lost while trekking. So this particular trip, I still remember it so vividly even today. So I told Harsh, let's make a film, horror film, about an unusual adventure. But by mistake, I told him this trip was in Sikkim. And because probably my memory had given up a bit. It had been many years since that trip. So we went to Sikkim. We started researching their folklore and mythology. And because of our intensive research, which happened over the course of at least 1.5 years. So during that research, the film Bokshi became more than a horror film. Because we met many scholars from Sikkim, and we met many learned people. We met few activists who are doing activism for the environment. So we got very inspired by what we found out during those research trips. And that's how Bokshi came to be how it is today. So initially, I set out to make a supernatural horror film, but it became much more than that because of whatever we encountered during our research in Sikkim.
So in the narrative, the film very much explores aspects of identity in the way in which our particular culture practices are just privileged over others. In the collision of modern and traditional cultures, can you tell us a little bit about Himalayan culture that you drew from in the film?
Yeah, so when we spend so much time in the state of Sikkim, which is a Himalayan state in the northeast of India, there we saw that the old and the new, their old traditions and the modern traditions coexist very beautifully. For example, their age-old traditions of shamanism, yep, and even their beliefs in their folklore and mythology is very much prevalent in today's society. You can see if you meet someone who is from a very urban background, say in the state of, in Sikkim, in the capital, say in Gangtok, you will still find them being very attached to their traditions. What we also saw that the Nepali-speaking people of Sikkim, all the tribes of Nepalis there, they're very much attached to nature. They worship nature. Nature is their overarching guardian. So these things really, seeped into the narrative of Bokshi. And that's how we wanted to represent, like you said, the cultural traditions and what the contemporary aspect of the film.
So looking at indigenous culture, you also explore a certain sort of exclusionary aspect when it comes to gender, with women being unable to practice as shaman and being negatively perceived as bokshi, which is Nepali for witch. Can you tell us a little bit about this theme that you highlight in the film?
Yeah, it's like how you had the witch trials in the West in the past. Yep. Currently in India and in Nepal, women being branded as witches and even killed for that. These cases are very much prevalent even now. The government has anti-witch laws in various states of India, especially the state I come from, Assam. This practice, since I was a child, I remember. So like there are tea gardens in Assam. So, there are laborers who work there. So from the town I come from, it's a small town. There is a neighboring tea garden, which is quite well known in my state. When I was very small, I remember this incident where a woman laborer in that tea garden was branded as a witch. She was a single mother. She was believed to spread a certain illness in the community in the tea garden, where many people had actually tragically died. So it was probably some, you know, like outbreak of some like illness there. So she was branded a witch. Her house was burned down, and her head was decapitated.
Ooh.
And after that, the men marched in my town with her head in hand. This was like many years back in the 90s. But even today, these practices haven't, you know, like completely gone away in spite of, you know, like the efforts of the government and NGOs and activists. This is also very much common in Nepal. It's called Bokshi Pratha. So we wanted to subvert this negative idea of the witch,
yep.
Bokshi, Dayan. Dayan is the Hindi word for witch. And we wanted to represent the idea of the witch as a symbol of empowerment. You can see many women, you know, across
yep.
countries who use this as an empowering symbol. Right? They are self-proclaimed witches, which is amazing. You're trying to, you know, change the perspective, change the through the feminine gaze, and so and also why we were compelled to have this very strong feminist thread in the narrative, because the titular character Bokshi, it's very loosely inspired from this mythical entity we found during our research in Sikkim, which is called Lyallame. So Lyallame in their mythology or folklore is believed to be this huge woman with sagging breasts, huge hips, someone like those women represented as Venus figurines. And this particular entity, Lyallame, is believed to impart knowledge of shamanism to children. And then these children are, you know, like brought into the society to practice shamanism. And in the power dynamic with her husband, who is also part of this knowledge imparting system, she's the more powerful one. That really inspired us. And that's how we are trying to show in our film that Bokshi is the mother, she kind of represents Mother Earth. And she's the first human on Earth, and she's female.
The film's conflict is also built around a historical trauma focused on the main protagonist, Anahita, who is warned by her grandmother about the sort of pernicious influence of ancient superstitions, and who, at the opening of the film, you know, she cannot understand the trauma that's giving her nightmares. Can you tell us a little bit about how you realize this character?
So when Harsh and I were ideating, I think why we chose the character to have a personal trauma, especially related to her childhood and her mother, because in the film, she has to choose a greater mother for the greater purpose she has in life, which she was predestined for from the time she was born. If I say maybe more, it might be a spoiler
for someone who hasn't
seen the film.
Yeah.
But the trauma was important because for her to become what she becomes or what she overcomes, you know, towards the end of the film, it was important for her to, let go of this very specific trauma. And also through this trauma, because it has the, like you had mentioned, the gender dynamics in play, we wanted to bring this theme into the narrative because we don't really see it much in Indian cinema. And we felt that, and especially being a horror film, we wanted to just talk about the gender dynamics without being preachy and treating it as something very normal, something being very normal of someone's everyday life.
So throughout the film, there's also the theme about the destruction of environment. The film opens with a voice, the Earth remembers, and in the film, we really do see the sort of sprawling presence of nature, which is such an important part of the film. How did you go about getting the sort of visual representation of this and the sort of representation of belief, you know, the sort of symbolic aspects, you know, symbols, rocks and markers, that sort of myths that relate to the sort of way in which people visualize nature? How did you go about getting that? That's so important to the atmosphere of the film.
Yeah, again, it's all due to our research in Sikkim. Like I just mentioned, how people worship nature there. And also, before actually going to Sikkim, we had gone to Meghalaya for, again, in relation to research for Bokshi. There we found, so Meghalaya has a lot of monolithic rocks, menhirs, which were, ancient worship sites. So the northeast of India is a very unique part of the country, where traditions and culture and folklore, they have, like survived generations. And even, even, you know, in today's time, they are talked about. And, you know, like in the modern society, people really regard them even now, you know, like as an important part of their life, even today. So these kind of things, and me being from Assam, from the Northeast, nature, I've been surrounded by, you know, like nature in its truest sense. So it was only natural for me, and of course the writer Harsh, to bring this theme into the film, and also because it beautifully ties in with the aspect of Mother Earth as such an important symbol. So I think all these things kind of what I like about how we made the film with all these themes is like everything came together very naturally. We didn't have to forcefully feed any particular theme film to serve some purpose, in the narrative. Like through everything we learned during our research and the stories we, read and the people we met, everything has come from those sources.
So did you work with the local indigenous population when it came to this film? And how have they received the work?
Yeah, so unfortunately we haven't shown the film in India yet. We're, because most of our film festivals happen October onwards. So we're hoping to have a screening there, but more specifically, we want to screen the film in Sikkim, because where the film is set, to see how people will react. But we did, we were in touch with one or two scholars and authors during the writing phase. And there were people who have guided us, because we didn't want to sensationalize anything. And because the myth and all the elements are kind of adapted from what we have learned during our research, we were very careful not to offend anyone. I hope no one will be offended even now. But I can tell you one thing. Yesterday in our screening at Sitges, at our Spanish premiere, we had a Nepali audience. Mm-hmm. We were so surprised he came up to us after the screening. He's from Nepal. He lives in Barcelona. So he really liked the film, and he was talking at length, how he was surprised how we adapted things which he has known about since his childhood. So I think we are in the safe zone, we are very excited now to take the film to the Indian audiences and to the Nepali audiences, because very soon we're going to have a screening in Kathmandu.
Oh, that's fabulous. Excellent. Yeah. And there's also a substantial Nepali diaspora in Australia. I think it's around about the fifth or sixth largest migrant group. It's actually, there's a substantial number of Nepali migrants in Australia.
I hope some of them come and watch Bokshi at South by Southwest.
So what were some of your film influences? I mean, I can see like a little bit of sort of Jordan Peele, the way that he uses horror as commentary. There's also some sort of folk horror. Right. What were the sort of film influences that sort of you think you drew from?
So I will tell you one film which might not, directly connect with this film, but this is, it's not one film actually, it's a trilogy, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only the films, even the books. That's like the, the books and the films, Peter Jackson's films, they kind of make me feel alive as a human. So even while I was filming Bokshi, I had kept the book on my table. You know, every morning I would kind of probably look at one page or the other, because like the world building I kind of approach in my films as a film director, like I like creating fantastical worlds, but at the same time I want them to have this relatability factor. So I think Lord of the Rings was a huge indirect influence, but more specifically there were films like Midsommar, and then there was the two Suspirias. I love Luca Guadagnino's new Suspiria. I love this filmmaker. I mean, how he adapted his version of Suspiria is very influential for me as a filmmaker. And there were other few films. I think like maybe Ben Wheatley's films, some of his films. And there is, again, not directly related to what I try to do in Bokshi, but there's this horror film called El Orfanato, The Orphanage, by J. Bayona.
Oh, that's a Spanish film?
That's
Is that the Spanish one?
Yes, Spanish film.
Yeah, I think
correct. In fact, he was here yesterday to present his new production. Yeah. So J.A. Bynoe has been, and Del Toro, these two filmmakers have been very influential, and they will continue to inspire me, as I keep making films.
So was it a challenge to film in such a remote location in the Himalayas?
It was extremely challenging, and because we were filming during COVID, during the pandemic, and I was very sure that we will, shoot every scene in real locations. So the writer, Harsh, he was also the executive producer. So it was a big challenge for him to, organize the team. And we needed a lot of local help. So we actually shot in West Sikkim in forest blocks. And we made a small village called Darab, our base. So a lot of people, you can say more than half of the village was involved in, back-end help as porters, as for transport, for food, everything. I mean, without them, we couldn't have made this film possible. So we did run into financial, trouble during the filming. So we had to stop shooting for a year because we ran out of money. So it was complicated because we have so many actors in the cast, and we had to make sure we come back to the same location. And because these were mostly forest locations, maintaining continuity was a huge task. But what really helped was, I think, a majority of the crew. This was 5 years back. Even I was 5 years younger back then. We had a very young crew, and for most of us, it was our first feature film. So that, that drive and that passion to tell a different story and just to get the film made anyhow, I think we all worked together. And so the filming was very challenging, but once the film was on the edit table, I had very experienced technicians working on the post-production. From the Mumbai film industry, Bollywood. And they really helped, give this finesse to the film in terms of the technicalities. So I think I'm blessed to have a really good crew at hand to pull this off. And of course, my absolute partner in crime, my writer, Harsh, we have done this together, basically. Yeah.
So what's also interesting is how that you've used some of the traditional aspects of genre. Our genre are flipped. The masculine characters in the film prove to be some of the most passive, and they're actually quite uncomfortable in the way in which they are stripped of power. Was this a reflection on certain aspects of Indian society being secretly uncomfortable about the way in which women can be empowered?
Yeah, I mean, not only the Indian society, probably. The ideas of patriarchy exists everywhere, right? Of course, I think in the back of our mind, again, we didn't think about this very specifically that we will implant this this particular theme or these ideas into the narrative. But I'm sure subconsciously, there have been what we have seen growing up and what we see even in today's society, these have influenced what you just mentioned. But I come from a part of the country where you don't see much of this, the patriarchal aspect of society, because Meghalaya in Northeast, it's a matriarchal society. So if you get married, the husband goes to the wife's family. They live like that. So I come from a very different kind of upbringing, and just generally where I the northeastern part of India. Probably if you go to northern parts or some other parts of India, you will see how women are treated in terms of patriarchal angle. Maybe it's a bit more pronounced in those parts, and we do, on a daily basis, you will see in the news about wrongdoings against women. So it is a very serious issue, and we wanted to highlight this aspect without being preachy. So I hope we have been able to, and we do need to talk about such aspects through film, because cinema is a very like it penetrates the masses, right? Like, so it's important to highlight such things through films, we feel.
I think it also filled some of the humor. Like, I thought some of the scenes that were really fun were the interaction between the two teachers and the male teacher.
Yeah,
I thought that actually really, like, it also had a lightness of touch to it. It was quite, so it wasn't like it was just a dark, overwrought thing. There was also quite a sort of, I mean, particularly the male teacher, he's, in one sense, I mean, he's not in any way a monster. He's just feeling uncomfortable about his role. He wants to actually help in a certain way.
The male teacher is not, he's not like the bad guy. He's not like the villain, right? Like, he's not like he's just like reacting to things we do feel sorry for him at times. And we do, I've seen this at every screening, all the screenings we've had so far at all the festivals. The audience, they do, you know, like giggle at whatever interactions he's having with the other protagonist, Shalini. But if I watch Bokshi as an audience, I feel sorry for Avinash, the male teacher, because I don't think it's his fault. It's just the way how the society is and probably how it's been brought up. And he does try to, you know, like, be adaptable and probably change his character a bit. But yeah, like, he meets his destiny in the film.